Welcome to episode 109 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandchef.com. That's right, episode 109. Alan Olson has been with me for about, 40 of them now?
It feels like it.
We got a lot to cover this week because we're doing about 2 or 3 weeks. 3 weeks, I guess. We got three tournament winners. Y.E. Yang won the Honda Classic.
Yeah, I mean, that guy played just phenomenal golf.
Nobody wanted to win that tournament, though, did they?
Not really. I mean, the lead changed quite a bit the first three rounds, and then it was kind of his to just kind of screw around with and win. So he's not a very big guy, but he hits the ball a couple miles. So good win for him, and yeah, congratulations on the exemption and the $1 million.
Yeah, and otherwise, snore. I always root for guys we know, which is a bit of a paradox. Because, you know, the only people that ever win a tournament are people that have won five tournaments before, and nobody will ever win five tournaments again to get to that point, you know what I mean? But I'm okay with a nobody playing great golf, too, but it's tough to say the guy even played great golf. The course was set up pretty hard, and it was very windy, so good golf was shooting 200 par a couple of days, so.
Yeah, that was about it.
Good golf was not duck hooking it way left on 17 like Brett Quigley and a few other people did several times. I know that much. Good golf is also not playing in your boxer briefs.
Yeah, apparently you got to strip all the way down to hit a golf shot or something or other. Or I don't know.
Right.
Free publicity for Under Armour or something like that.
Hugo Boss or somebody. I don't know. That's all we really want to say about that.
Moving right along.
Phil Mickelson wins in Doral. He's never won a WGC event, and he's never won at Doral, despite finishing in the top 10 something like 4 out of the past 6 years or something like that. So his first WGC event, his first win at Doral, beat out Nick Watney, whose bunker play let him down and whose putting left him about 4 inches short several times throughout the day.
Yeah, as opposed to the Honda Classic, this one had some scoring. I think Phil came in at, 19 under and Watney at 18 under. So yeah, I mean, it was great golf. I mean, they went back and forth, and yeah, other than Watney unable to close the deal on the putting and the bunker play, it was a pretty exciting weekend of golf to watch that at Doral.
The roles were almost reversed from when Tiger and Phil battled, I think, in 2005 with the same outcome. They had separated themselves from the pack just like they did this year, the two of them, Nick Watney and Phil Mickelson. Nobody else was really in it. They showed a few people that got to within, you know, 3 or 4 shots at best. So it was pretty much those two guys competing just like in 2005. And again, at the last, both Phil Mickelson and Nick Watney had a chance to tie with a birdie, just as Phil did. And just as Phil did in 2005, just missed by about the same amount, you know, half an inch or whatever it was. I was surprised the ball stopped, but Nick Watney was doing that all day, so.
Yeah, and Sunday, you know, you had 7 lead changes, I think, by like the 11th hole. So, I mean, it was just every hole something happened. Everything was, you know, something was different. And, you know, they had the whole story of Phil having the stomach virus and drinking Gatorade by the gallon. And
got 2 bags of IV solution.
Yeah.
The night before.
So yeah, it was a very very compelling weekend of golf, and you know, Tiger showed up, you know, finishing the top 10, and
yeah, kind of a backdoor top 10. I think he had rounds of 2 under, 2 under, or 1 under, 1 under, 4 under, 4 under.
Yeah.
So he finished 9 shots back of the leader and finished tied for 9th. That kind of shows you there was a big gap between the leaders and even, you know, 3rd place. Also interesting, Phil Mickelson probably would not have won, A, if Nick Watney had learned how to hit out of a bunker or get a putt to the hole. But also, he likely would not have won had he not chipped in about 14 times. I think he had 20 putts in the first round, 21 putts in the second round, something like that. Bizarre. And his putting wasn't that great. He was just missing a lot of greens and chipping it close or chipping it in. So
yeah, short game definitely saved him because he was still spraying it a little bit. Although Saturday, the back 9, Phil was, he was pretty much on target wherever he wanted to hit his driver, which was pretty impressive.
Yeah, tee it high and let it fly. He's got the grip it and rip it John Daly mentality now. One thing, though, about Phil's short game, it seems to me he's ditched Dave Pelz. And nobody said anything, but we don't see or hear Dave Pelz anymore. And we don't really hear Phil talking about Dave Pelz a whole lot.
No, that is a very interesting point, because it would usually be, oh, we went to work at this course, and we were doing this, and we were doing that. And now it's Butch this, Butch that, working with Butch. I don't know, is the marriage of the scientific Pelz done?
It may be. Science and feel may no longer be attracted, as opposites sometimes are. Also, I laughed to myself, but not more out of surprise. Phil tees off on 18, and instead of someone yelling, get in the hole, someone yelled, get in the water. And then Johnny Miller defends the guy. saying, what, you're at a sporting event, you need to expect that kind of stuff. Much to Dan Hicks' surprise, I think.
Yeah, I mean, for the amount of golf, I can't remember the last time I've heard somebody actually yell, get in the water.
Or root against somebody.
Yeah, I mean, that just seems to be...
I mean, as much as they want to say at the Ryder Cup, people rooted against people, I don't even know that they quite did that. Certainly nobody yelled, get in the water, to a European player.
No.
Interesting. Also interesting that he barely cleared the water.
Yeah,
he only had two or three yards to spare there.
Careful what you wish for, I guess.
He almost wing-footed it, which probably would have given it to Nick Watney. Retief Goosen, I was, you know, rooting for Tom Lehman at least to finish tied for seventh. He finished the stroke out of that by hitting a ball in the water. But Retief Goosen played solid golf most of the day when, again, a tournament nobody seemed to want to win, the Transitions Championship.
Yeah, this one didn't really pay that much attention to. Didn't watch a ton of it. What I did see was the lead change quite a bit. A whole host of players threw away the opportunity to get a win out of this.
I think Tom Lehman had one birdie the entire day, and that came on about the 16th or 17th hole when he knocked in a long putt. But yeah, nobody seemed to want to win. My favorite kicking bag, Brett Quigley, who's, you know, now gone 342 PGA Tour starts without a win. I think he's perfectly content to be there. I think he was dreading. He wasn't even warming up. You know, he finished an hour or so before Retief Goosen, and you didn't see him doing anything to get ready for a playoff.
Yeah, second place money is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, he's been saying that for about 15 years now, so. Good on you, Brett Quigley, you gutless dude.
And a surprise.
Congratulations to Retief Goosen. You know, it's good to see him back, although...
Define back. I mean, it's not as if this was a star-studded event, and I don't know. I mean, he has won a couple times last year in European events and stuff, so...
Early this year, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know.
He did something Colin Montgomery never did, so we can talk about the strength of the field all we want, but...
That's true.
But then again, he also beat Tom Lehman, so... it goes both ways, but still something Colin Montgomery's never done.
Yep. Congratulations to Goosen. It's a good win, and hopefully this propels him to bigger and better things this year.
Hopefully he grows a personality, too. That'd be nice to see.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. I just wish he'd get a little more excited now and then.
Yeah, you'd like to see him smile a little bit more.
We'll be right back. You can smile through this commercial break.
We're always improving our game, so you can improve yours. Introducing the new Pro V1. With more distance and more spin for better control. And new Pro V1X with more distance. Both more durable than ever. We made every improvement count because every shot counts.
Welcome back. Tiger Woods was welcome back to stroke play competition at Doral. He said his left knee was fine, but bizarrely, his right ankle gave him trouble.
Yeah, apparently not used to walking 18. I think up to this point, he'd been using a cart for just about anything. So yeah.
He likes to play in an hour and a half at Isleworth there.
So yeah. I don't know. Nike, get him some comfortable shoes.
Yeah. Tiger Woods' charity date. It used to be the Target. Who knows? The Chevron World Challenge now. That's right. Originally scheduled the week before Christmas has been moved up to December 3rd through the 6th.
Yawn.
That'll be good because, you know, a few more people might go. I like that event as kitschy as it is. It's nice to see a bunch of good players all together.
I mean, and I think that's probably the biggest benefit of moving it up is the fact hopefully it'll get a little bit bigger field for, you know, the silly season event and actually get to see some...
It goes to his charity and stuff, yep. Too, so...
So, yeah, if we can see some big-name golfers in December, that'd be pretty cool.
It's nice to see them a little loose, too. You know, Tiger still usually wins, but it's nice to see them playing loose. You know, they have a little more fun because it doesn't count for much.
No.
Although I think he's going to get world ranking points here.
Ooh.
Soon, so. But everybody that plays shouldn't have to be worrying about too much about, like, getting in the top 50 or something. So it still might be pretty loose.
And as far as money goes?
Tiger Woods will be playing in November in Australia. He's rumored to get $3 million appearance fee, despite the fact that the purse is, like, $1 million total. The winner's check is like $276,000, and he's getting $3 million just to show up. So some people don't like that. He's playing the Australian Masters at Kingston Heath, which Greg Norman has said is one of the best courses he's ever played. So that may be part of the reason he's going, but also he may have $3 million other reasons to go.
Yeah, definitely. It's been interesting to read the reactions from various people in the golf industry about this $3 million and even different government officials down in Australia who, you know, in the middle of a recession, you're giving out some major coin to Tiger, but at the same time, he also generates a ton of cash. So think of it as a very worthwhile investment.
Stuart Appleby was on board as supporting it because he said, hey, he'll bring in a lot more than that $3 million. It's basically a form of advertising.
Yeah. And if,
make the event bigger and more people will show up and spend more money.
Exactly.
You get television rights, all kinds of stuff.
Exactly.
And Tiger Woods is not the type of guy to just show up, take the money, miss the cut, and go home. If he's going to play, I have the feeling he's going to try to win. So he's not going to just go through the motions.
No, and you know, every time there's somebody else spouting off in the media about him getting $3 million, just gives him a little bit more motivation to go out there and win by 10.
And you know what? If you want $3 million, something we've said here on the podcast many times, play better.
Exactly.
Michelle Wee hopes to play better, but she'll be doing so with new representation. She signed a deal with IMG, leaving William Morris Agency.
Yeah, and I think it,
who knows why? Who cares?
Yeah, at this point, I think IMG has what, like 99.8% of the golfers and all the tours. Big deal.
This may be a good move for her. IMG may have the balls to stand up to Wee's parents if they're still helicoptering around like they are rumored to be still.
That would be good. It's a good move. You know, everybody talks about this revolving door of agents and caddies and whatnot, and hopefully this will bring some stability to her very young golf career.
Tiger Woods' last story that kind of involves him may be behind some of the changes. The PGA Tour Policy Board is talking about reshaping the way the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am is played, where it's played, and how many people play in it. Currently, it features 180 teams with one pro and one amateur, so that's 180 professional golfers. They want to perhaps lower the field size to 144 players. They may also eliminate Poppy Hills and move to another nearby course. Some people have said that Tiger Woods may play again. Poppy Hills is removed from the rotation. Of course, Pebble Beach will be the site of the U.S. Open, I think, in 2010. So he may play that year anyway. But yeah, Tiger Woods not exactly a fan of the 7-hour rounds you see there either.
No, not at all. And I think the rest of us are pretty not thrilled at the 7 hours and lack of seeing decent golf shots for a vast majority of the telecast. So, you know, hopefully they make the changes. It'll be interesting to see if they follow through on it. And, people can just say they're making more changes for the Tiger Tour.
Greg Norman, I think a couple of years ago, it was Nike that signed, they signed a bunch of old people that couldn't contend at the Masters, but were former champions, so they were allowed to play. And then they could claim that they were the most played club at the Masters, even though 2/3 of the people playing their clubs were, 83 years old. TaylorMade seems to be trying that same ploy by signing Greg Norman. They've signed Greg Norman to play. He's going to play TaylorMade clubs at the Shell Houston Open as well as at the Masters. So apparently TaylorMade has taken a page out of Nike's book of bringing old people who have absolutely no chance of winning or making the cut onto their staff to boost their numbers at Augusta.
Well, they have to continue to be the number one driver. So somebody must be getting a little too close to their ranking. And, it's interesting since he owns McGregor or part of McGregor, which seems to be on its way down the toilet. I don't know. Was he able to get TaylorMade to buy McGregor, buy his share out? Who knows?
Not me.
Non-issue.
Annika Sorenstam is preggers. I hate that word. She's pregnant. She's having a baby, but not for a while. She announced on her blog that she and husband Mike McGee are expecting their first child due sometime in early fall.
Yeah, and everybody hoping for a quick return to the LPGA Tour. Yeah, that's not going to happen, if at all.
She could just take a year off.
She could, but then again, maybe she'll enjoy motherhood.
Babies are expensive.
I don't think she needs. I don't think they really need the money.
Oh, well, she was signed with AIG or something, wasn't she? She has no money left. She needs to get back out there. She's toast.
As long as she didn't own a bunch of AIG stocks, she'll probably be okay.
She can borrow money from Tiger.
Their kids.
Just think of that. They live close together too, right? They both live in Islesworth, I think. Or maybe she's Lake Nona, but whatever. Her kid, whatever it is, we don't know, boy or girl, she can go hang out at Tiger Woods' house with her kid, and they can all play together.
Yeah, they could all eventually golf.
They have like a little threesome now.
There you go.
So Annika needs to have maybe another one. And then they got a little foursome of, golfers.
Exactly. That works out quite well. And Tiger could open a daycare.
There we go. That about does it for episode 109 of the Golf Talk Podcast. Check our show notes out. Click on the links to all the stories we talked about, including the underwear story we tried not to talk about.
You brought it up.
Alan Olson. The people want to know.
It's all the people.
Maybe. For Alan Olson, this is Eric Brzezinski saying warm weather needs to get here now.